The Portland City Council is now in session. Carla, please call the roll.
Here.
Here.
So we start with communications. Carla, could you read the first item, please? Do we have a problem? Oh, I didn't know we had a problem. Okay, sorry. Oh, whoops. The mayor's right here here just in time with the proclamation.
I don't know if we have the proclamation.
Proclamation?
The pre-gavel proclamation? Arbor Day?
I thought you had it.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a moment for procedure here, folks. I'll make sure that Rachel brings it down and we return to it after communications. How about that? Want to do that?
Yeah.
Will that work? Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Novick, for getting us started. Excuse my delay, folks. We have a delegation from Okayama, Japan, visiting us this morning, so had to welcome them here to Portland. So let's move to communications items, 346. Oh. Mr. Thrasher, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for having myself, Ken Thrasher, here this morning, along with my friend Ashley Ehlers, who is a College Possible coach in the Gresham School and High School, and also was previously a student of College Possible. So you get the benefit of a twofer here. She's done both been a student and been now a coach of students. We want to talk to you about College Possible today and consideration of having College Possible part of the city's budget for $500,000 next year. And we think it's a wonderful way to invest in strategic programs that really make a difference in the college transition years between high school and four-year colleges. This program is geared toward having low-income students graduate from a four-year college. And I got to tell you, of the research we've done in looking at what we could bring to East County to really improve college graduation rates for low-income students, College Possible was by far the most successful program we looked at nationally, and is evidence-based by a Harvard study that looked at it as the top program of its type in the nation, both from a cost per student and the outcomes. And let me tell you what those look like. In College Possible, nationally, the program picks up these low-income students in the junior and senior year, puts them through an intensive 2 hours twice a week after school with an AmeriCorps coach. They then get up to 6 years of coaching while they're in a four-year college, and allows us to show that these low-income students will graduate from college at a 60% graduation rate, which is the same rate as the average student body nationally. So if you think about it and you look at a peer group of low-income students that don't go through a program as intensive like this, what you'll find is the outcome from college graduation is a 10-to-1 ratio versus peers that do not go through the same program. We started this program a year ago in Portland. We have been in a number of the schools out in East County, David Douglas, Park Rose, Gresham, Barlow, and Reynolds. We are going to expand into the Portland Public Schools this next year with Madison, and Centennial will be coming on the following year. And we really believe a public partnership where we have privately funded this to date would really increase the capacity both in having more schools in the Portland area served, but also going deeper in the schools that we're in to serve more students. We currently have 300 students directly in the program. Our students, the junior year, increased their college ACT scores an average of 23%, which was the highest increase in the history of College Possible nationally. And so what we've done is we've built a very powerful program with 300 students served now. We want to increase that to over 1,000 students in the next 5 years. I've given you a little summary chart that shows the demographics and the impact that we're having out in East County. And as you notice, we have 63% students of color, 86% of our students are first generation. And I said, these low-income students are really doing a great job. And I want to just tell you a really quick story. One of our students named Joss and David Douglas is a senior this year and was the first student to ever get a full ride to Harvard. This was a young man that was not going to college. So we believe this request will allow us to really leverage the program, grow it faster, and with your support, I think we can really change the curve, reduce the cycle of poverty for these low-income students in East County, better prepare the workforce for the future, and most important, one really important thing is we reduce our social costs in this state significantly by this kind of an investment. So with that, I would open it up for questions. And Ashley, I brought, because I thought you might want to talk to a student, because we only have 3 minutes, I thought I would do the formal. And if you have some questions, we'd love to answer them.
I have a question.
Yes.
My daughter's graduated from college in May, but 4 years ago, we went through all of the trials and tribulations of applying for college. And I remember that the financial aid maze was very hard to figure out. I remember that the application process was very complicated. I remember that the essays were very demanding, and it turned out that the parents were the least likely helpful people in that process because my daughter did not want to share her personal reflections. There was some career coaching stuff about, you know, why go to college, what do you want to accomplish, that was needed. There were the test scores and sometimes coaching and how to take tests and encouraging people to take them again. And then there was all the hand-holding throughout, and it was sort of overwhelming, actually. And so I'm just curious, of all those things and the other kinds of considerations, what do you find is the area of the great, so to our coach, what are the areas where you find the greatest need in help?
That's a great question. I think, surprisingly, all of those things, I know it seems like I shouldn't say all of them, but for my students, their parents might not speak English, so they have no ability to have their parents edit their essays. So, I mean, I come every day and edit each of their essays multiple times before they send it in. Wow. Also, the process, the fact that they don't know the process of applying, so they don't even know that you have to fill out a FAFSA. They don't. A lot of students, low-income students, will go to FAFSA.com instead of FAFSA.gov and pay an extra $75 to file their free application for student aid. So I think those types of things, walking through that whole process of applying to each school is really important.
Boy, the FAFSA process, we required a computer and access to the Internet. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not structured so that it tells you don't apply at the front end. So I put my marriage at risk for the weeks we spent doing it, only to find out at the back end that we were out of luck. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish it had been a little more user-friendly.
Yeah, yep.
Well, we also have 7 partner colleges already in Oregon. So we are partnering with colleges to get access to those and start break some of those barriers down. In addition, a couple other things I think are really important. We have a community service component to the program, and we also have a financial literacy component. So we all don't just... It's not just academic. It works on all of the skills that these students need to be successful in life.
I also think, like, students, they might not even consider college as an option for them, and I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned is that students come into the program saying, I never thought that I would be able to go to college. Nobody ever told me that I would go to college. So it sounds like your daughter grew up assuming that she was going to go to school. But for some of these kids, this is the first time anyone has ever told them that it's a possibility for them. So it really opens the doors for all the opportunities that they have available for them after high school.
My daughter's mother, my wife, is the first woman on her mother's side of the family to go to high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even, I love the data on first-generation college students. I mean, because that's the charm here, mm-hmm. is creating a pattern of expectations for kids that maybe didn't have someone at home that had that opportunity.
I'm just curious, how does the initial contact work? I mean, who, you know, calls or visits a student to say, we hope we can interest you in this program?
Yeah, so we go into classrooms with sophomores, and we give them what's called a college prep talk. So we tell them, not only for recruitment purposes, but telling them what it takes to get into college, that you can't get D's in your classes, that colleges only accept C's or better. So those kind of things, making sure that they understand the financial aid process, applying for the FAFSA, all of that. And so at the end of that talk, we tell students, if you're interested in a program that would help you through this whole process, like, we are available to help. And so we start doing that their sophomore year, but hopefully the longer that you're in schools, the students know about the program beforehand. We walk around with our shirts on all the time, finding students during lunch, making sure that they're coming to session, that kind of stuff.
Thank you. It sounds like a great program. Mr. Thrasher, as you know, the city funds the Future Connect Scholarship Program with a partnership with Portland Community College. And we started that and was expecting a 2-to-1 private fundraising match for the city's investment. I think it's now almost 4-to-1 that the PCC Foundation is being able to get additional donations. Is there a component in your request to the city? Is there an expectation that there'll be a private match?
Yes, absolutely. We are increasing our fundraising at a really significant clip, and we started out primarily with foundations to launch the program because you have to go for some dollars that can significantly scale you quickly. And following doing that, we have an individual campaign we're going to be launching. We think there are a lot of individual donors that like to give scholarships, for example, to a low-income student, first-generation students, and diverse students. And that, with programs like we have Equal Access at Portland State University, which I actually was helped involved in starting as a scholarship program, we are going to start to connect those donors in a strategic way that I think will allow us to have very similar ratios of funding that you're talking about. We absolutely are going to match and exceed the amount of funds you would invest here.
Charlie, what was the elementary school? What's the elementary school we visited that has the banners of all the colleges along the corridor? So they're from the earliest possible
Park
days.
Rose. Yeah.
Park Rose. So that the message from the beginning days of elementary school is you're going to go to college. And
right.
we're going to start educating you about college options.
Yes. It's high expectations is what we're setting for these students that have never, many of them never had high expectations. Yeah. If you had talked to Don Grotting, and you walked into David Douglas today, he will tell you that College Possible has changed the culture of going to college in David Douglas High School. More kids are now thinking about it because they see their peers being successful who never thought they could go.
Great. Other questions?
I guess then the question would be, why are the school districts not funding it?
Well, interestingly, we are the only College Possible site nationally of their five other sites that have school funding. The schools actually do put an investment in this program. We asked them to do that. We have asked them to do that in the second year as a follow-on to the first year funding, and we're now going back and asking schools to continue to do that funding. So they have given a contribution toward the program. We believe that investment is important to commit the school and the staff toward the program. But we work very well with them on that, and Don and the other superintendents have been great in supporting that.
So could you please send us the breakdown of the funding for the program?
We can. We can do that.
Hopefully. And I apologize. I missed. Where are you a coach again?
I'm a coach at Gresham High School.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Great presentation.
Thank you all.
Thanks. Okay. While we're on the subject of education, number 347 and maybe 348 together.
347, request of Gary Withers to address council regarding 3 to PhD, and 348, request of Carl Talton to address council regarding 3 to PhD.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure to follow Ken Thrasher. We want to start with a big thank you, and really the thank you is from Ken and myself and others who are affiliated with the Children's Institute for the support that you've given to David Douglas School District and the wonderful initiative at the Earl Boyles School. And in fact, that's a great starting point for a conversation about 3 to PhD. And 3 to PhD is both a capital program and it's also an initiative with many, many program elements related to social services and education. The best way to view it is really through an equity lens. It's an Eastside, Northeast Portland, educational initiative that strikes at the heart of closing the opportunity gap and creating this culture of college, and really beyond creating the culture of college, it's creating the culture of possibility. What's possible after you graduate from high school, whether it's college or onto a trade school or some other vocation? And so we have to look at the demographics of Fabian School, the largest catchment area in Portland Public Schools. And today there are 520 students at Fabian. There will be 800 when the new Fabian Concordia campus is built and open in September of 2017. Among those 500 students, in fact, the sheet that you have is now incorrect. It says that 81% are eligible for free and reduced lunch. The actual number, Portland Public Schools tells us, is 91%. And in fact, the principal and assistant principal estimate that about 20% of those students are technically homeless, and about another 25% live in trailer parks or in public housing. The diversity is rich. A third African American, black, a third Latino, and a third everyone else, including about 20% for whom English is a second language. Now, there are four corners to the 3 to PhD initiative. We start with wraparound services, services that will provide mental, physical, dental, and nutrition services. We have wonderful partners there. The Tooth Taxi is just getting on board with us. Whole Foods and Pacific Foods are going to help us open an actual food club, making high nutrition, organic foods available at cost, about a third of what we pay for Pacific Foods at Fred Meyer, at the food club right there in the school itself. Now, from the wraparound services, we move to early childhood. We are all very much aware of the tremendous returns on investment for the social, emotional, and psychological development of young children and preparing them to learn through an intense early childhood program. And this program will have slots for 120 students. From there, we move to STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Carl Talton, civic leader, Concordia board member, will talk about the STEAM initiative here in just a minute. Then the fourth corner is unlike any corner of a program like this in the country. The Concordia University College of Education will be fully embedded within this new facility. So we will have the largest college of ed in the state serving students at this facility. We're here today to request $500,000 in your support for the capital initiative. We're grateful for the $100,000 that has been passed so far. I appreciate that very, very much. And I'll pass it to Carl with the notion that this is a scalable model for Portland, for the city, for the country, and that your support most likely will be matched in its entirety. Carl?
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Hales and City Council members. My name is Carl Talton. I'm a member of the Board of Trustees for Concordia University and an active participant in the rollout of the 3 to PhD program. I'm also part of the leadership of a coalition of community-based educational service providers who work primarily with communities of color. Some of these community-based organizations are only a few years old, but most have been around for a good 40 or 50 years, giving them tremendous history and credibility with the communities of Inner North and Northeast Portland. The coalition was formed to ensure that children of color, and in particular black children, are not farther educationally distanced from not only their white counterparts, but from future economic opportunities made possible by a strong STEAM program. The goal of this STEAM coalition of color is to ensure that these community-based organizations have the necessary resources as their at their disposal to deliver and prepare STEAM-related curriculum to communities of color. To that end, we, that is the coalition, have formed a close working relationship with Concordia University and its 3 to PhD program. This relationship greatly increases the coalition's capacity to deliver STEAM-related curriculum, expertise, resources, and program to its respective communities. Along with this, community-based partners who have similar goals and long-standing relationships with these communities, this relationship will serve Concordia, the coalition, and most importantly, the community itself. Thank you. We appreciate the time. If you have questions, Gary and I are available to answer.
Gary, I have a question. If you're successful in this model of bringing a distinguished institution of higher learning into the public school system and creating a campus that is mutually reinforcing, is it replicable with other institutions in the city?
Absolutely. In fact, as we speak, I know Portland Public Schools is considering the next site for replication. We've already had folks from as far away as India visit Fabian, and I've had a number of inquiries recently from architects after I had a chance to speak at a public forum at Portland State, architects involved with school initiatives.
I have just a related, it's not so much a question, it's just something for you to ponder and for us as well. You know, we have a system of community centers in the city. We have partnerships with schools and school districts and universities. I think we have a question to ponder over time, which is how many community centers should the city ultimately own and operate? We have some. There are places where people want more. To what extent are we fully utilizing the facilities of school districts and universities to serve kids, not just college kids in your case, but kids of a wide spectrum of ages, and what unused capacity is there. So you're sort of a model in that sense too. What you're envisioning for Fabian is not just a laboratory school for teaching teachers. It's also a community center, at least in some versions of what those words mean. And I think it's just, you know, it's an interesting question, but it's also an important question. It's a big financial question on both the operating side for the Parks Bureau and all their partners, and for the number of kids we're not yet serving very well in the city with recreation opportunities. So something for us to ponder in this budget, yes, in terms of what we might do in terms of enhancing those recreation opportunities ourselves and with partners, but there's also a facilities question there. How many schools are there going to be that are like this one? How many partnerships are there going to be that get outside of the traditional boundaries as you're doing here? I think that has the potential to pay a lot of dividends to people in terms of what's available to them in their neighborhoods, particularly if we're not able to build, and we're not, a community center within easy walking distance of every kid. So not so much a question, but a set of issues for us to ponder. But any thoughts about that? I know Commissioner Fritz and I have been talking about this, and we all think about it. And at a time when we're trying to invest more on both the program side and on facilities, it's something that we want to spend more time in conversation with you about and other leaders of various educational institutions in the city.
We'd love to have the conversation. 53% of the time on our soccer and baseball field is devoted to the community.
Right.
And the new Fabian Concordia facility will actually have a gym that's large enough for our NCAA Division II basketball teams to be able to practice. And the idea was that we'd be able to demonstrate sort of college kids in action, as we already do with 200 to 300 of our students at Fabian every year. And you mentioned the idea of it as a lab school. We think of it as a collaboration where we're really learning from each other. In fact, the principal's office and the dean's office will be right next to each other, and a lot of our faculty will be embedded right next to the grade school classrooms. But, Mayor and Commissioners, as you think about recreation centers, this is a conversation that I'm speaking on behalf of our president now, Chuck Schlempert, that we would love to have with you, because we want to develop a new fitness center and a new arena. In fact, we had a master planning session with the campus yesterday, and I've shared with a number of individuals. The only way that's going to happen on the Concordia campus, and I'm speaking again on behalf of the president, is going to be community-based. And we'd love to have that conversation. We'd love to see, we think of this almost as one campus, the Concordia, Fabian, Fabian, Concordia campus. We'd love to see this part of Northeast Portland be as rich, open, and accessible as possible to the entire community. It supports our mission, preparing leaders to go out and change the world, and it just makes great economic sense in terms of the economic multiplier.
Great. Thank you. Thank you both. Thanks very much.
Thank you.